a dangerous prayer that I tell you exactly what you need to hear today. But now that I have freedom, I mean, I thought before we get into the sermon, we should deal with the main water cooler talk that everyone's talking about, because I just hear people all over the church talking about the Shohei Ohtani trade for $700 million. And you can hear the joy. It's caused a lot of people angst and frustration. And, you know, the people that seem to be at peace with it are Dodgers fans. But I told one of the Dodger fans, it's okay. You guys are just going to get to the first round and lose again anyway. So, but everyone's talking about that, so now we're done talking about it. You know, $700 million is a lot of money, and that's great. Today we're going to be talking about peace, and as we talk about Advent and the Christmas story, we're looking at this idea that Jesus coming into the world as a baby but not staying as a baby, that as he comes into the world, he comes to give us fullness of life. That you and I, we experience life and we experience good portions of life and we experience great moments of life, but without Christ, we will never really experience the fullness of life that God has intended for you. And so today we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be talking about peace. And maybe you remember the story of the king that was in the land, and he wanted a picture in his castle of peace. And so he had a contest, and all the artists came together to paint a portrait of what peace looked like for the king. And there are tons of sunsets and palm trees and just very serene things. And the king looked at all of them and loved them all, and they were all great, but he narrowed it down to two paintings. The first painting was a painting of this mountain range with this lake in front of it and this reflection, and it was just calm and peace, and we have it up here. Just beautiful, like a place you would like to just put a cabin on and sit there. It's kind of the place that I'd like to fish but never check my pole because I don't care. I'm just there to relax. And it's peaceful. And the king looked at it and he loved it. He loved the colors and just the peacefulness about it. But the second finalist had mountains and a lake also, but it was anything but peaceful. It was gray skies. It was stormy. It was cloudy. There was lightning. There's this waterfall cascading down the side. But as the king looked at it, and you can see this little red circle, which wasn't on the painting. I put it there for you all. Because, you know, I care. There's this little cleft in the rock, and in that cleft is a little bird just sitting there like nothing's happening. And the king looked at that painting and said, this is the painting I want for peace. Because peace isn't found when everything is going well in life. True peace is found that when everything is going wrong in life, you can sit somewhere safe and secure and not worry about it. That's the painting that I choose. And I thought, man, that's a great story, and that's a great painting, and it's a great picture of what Advent is and what Jesus brings. When Jesus comes to bring us a fullness of life, last week we talked about fullness of light, that Jesus comes and brings light into our lives. This week we want to talk about fullness of peace, that Jesus comes to make our peace full. And so we'll light our Advent candle over here just to remind us the Advent is the waiting, expecting for someone to come. And in the church, we have Advent as we expect and wait on the Messiah to come to celebrate Jesus' birth. First candle reminds us to be full of light. Second candle reminds us that Jesus brings us fullness of peace. Peace, I think, gets the peace that Jesus gives, I think, gets misconstrued by people. They have a different definition. They have a different want of what that peace is. And I think you see that in people's lives. There are many people that when you present the gospel to them, you tell them about the Christian faith, they want nothing to do with it. They think it's just a bunch of stories and fairy tales and lies and that nobody should believe in it, and it's just baloney. And so they turn away from it. But there are other people that they come to faith in Christ. And they say, yes, this is what I want to be a part of. But after a while, they deal with frustration. And they deal with some bitterness. And they feel like they've been lied to because I never got what Christianity promised me. I never got the peace that you talked about, that's presented. And my life was never perfect, and all my problems never went away. And so they turn away from the faith because it never answered the peace that they wanted. And the problem is, like so many of us, sometimes we have the wrong definition of what peace is. And so that's what I want to talk about today. It's true that Jesus brings peace, but maybe not the peace that you and I are expecting or wanting. But when you look at the Christmas story, there's so many times it talks about peace. When John the Baptist was born, 6 months before Jesus, he's Jesus' cousin, his father, Zechariah, speaking, he says this in Luke chapter 1. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. Jesus is coming into the world to guide us to the path of peace. And remember when the shepherds are sitting in the field and the angel appears to them and says, "Hey, I bring you good news of great joy, will be for all men, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God finds favor." What does God bring to the world through Jesus? Peace. He's bringing peace. He's there to guide us to the path of peace, to bring peace on earth, and to fill us with peace. And if there's anything the world needs, it needs Jesus' peace. Amen? And so today, as we talk about peace, the two things I kind of want to cover today is, what is this peace that we're talking about, really? What is the biblical idea of peace and the peace that Jesus brings into the world? And then how do you and I experience God's peace in our lives? So that's where we'll be going today. Kind of our bottom line that I want you to think about is this, that if you want to experience a full life of peace, it will have to be fought for. Which sounds like an oxymoron. If I want peace, I've got to fight for it. Yes, but we'll talk about that. If you wouldn't mind standing with me, we're going to read from Luke chapter 1 this morning. Start with the Christmas story. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. And this is God's word as we start this morning. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be a holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of the Lord God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Won't you pray with me, church? God, I thank you. I thank you for the Christmas story, and I thank you for Jesus coming into our world. I thank you for the peace that he brings and the peace that we have with you. God, I pray there are some in this room right now that desperately need that peace. And God, I pray that, Lord, you would help them understand what that is and experience it. Even as the service is happening, that they would experience your peace. Lord, move in our building today. Move in our hearts and our minds. Help us to see your love for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. I think Mary is an amazing woman. I think she's an amazing character in the Bible. Man or woman, it doesn't matter. I think she's incredible. Because when you look at the story and what's going on, the angel appears to her and gives her this greeting, and she's like really confused, like, okay, like, where's the hidden cameras? What's going on? Like, this isn't normal. Someone's doing something. I need to figure it out. But the angel shares, "Mary, you're favored by God. This is going to be incredible. You're going to become pregnant, and you're going to have a son. It's going to be the Messiah, the one that everybody's been waiting for. It's the most incredible news in all the world. He's going to be great. He's going to inherit David's kingdom. He's going to sit on the throne. He's going to lead Israel forever. It's going to be awesome." And Mary's like, "Woo-hoo-hoo. I mean, that's exciting, but Yeah, I've got some questions. Let's deal with the elephant in the room, Gabriel. How am I going to become pregnant if I'm not doing anything to get pregnant? Questions. And Gabriel's like, oh, the details. Yeah, you're right, Mary, that's good. Don't worry about that. God is awesome. God is the one that created everything. He created people just like a word. And so he's just going to like snap his fingers and poof, you're going to be pregnant. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be rad. Don't worry about it, Mary. It's going to be awesome. And you can, if you're Mary, just think about it for a minute. The angel's saying all these things. And even if you're grasping them, so God's just going to snap his fingers and I'm going to be pregnant. How is that going to work with my family? Hey, mom and dad, you'll never guess what. I'm pregnant. What? No. Joseph and I didn't do anything. Oh, sure you didn't do anything, Mary. Yeah. No. God just snapped his fingers and I'm pregnant. Uh-huh, yeah. Like, we told you about the bird and the bees. We know the story. We know how it goes. That's not how it works. How many people would have shunned her? How many people would have not believed her story? How much people would have turned their noses at her for being such a disrespectful young woman in the nation of Israel? How they would have abandoned her and pushed her aside. Even Joseph later on finds out about the pregnancy and he's like, yeah, I can't marry Mary, but I don't want to shame her, so I'm just going to leave her in private so nobody knows. All these things, and how many things might be going through Mary's head, how much her world is going to turn upside down, and even how am I going to raise, I'm going to have God's son? Like, how is that going to work? How am I even going to do that? All these questions that she could have. And in the midst of all that chaos, Mary's response is amazing. Yeah, I'm the Lord's servant. Let him have his way. In the midst of her whole world, you and I have had those days where this is not how I planned it. This is not how it's supposed to go. I had a plan, and if it goes according to my plan, everything would be perfect, right? And Mary's going, this is not how I planned it. But you don't see any chaos in Mary. You don't see any argument from Mary. You don't see any, like, Gabriel, find somebody else in Mary. You see peace in Mary. You know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm his servant. Let him do what he needs to do. How can you and I have a peace like that when our world is about to spin out of control? That's the amazing part of the Christmas story. And what makes Mary such an amazing person is just her calmness and peacefulness in the face of the storm that's about to just drop on her. And so before we talk about how you and I can have that kind of peace that Mary has, let's talk about what the Bible talks about peace. And what is the peace that Jesus is bringing into the world? And so the first thing I want you to see is this, that the first point, that we have a peace with God. The peace that Jesus is bringing into the world is not peace on earth. It's peace with God while we are on earth. Because if you look at our world right now, our world is anything but peaceful. Amen? Ukraine and Russia have been in a war for a year and a half. Look what's going on with Israel and Hamas. I looked it up right now. There are 45 armed conflicts going on in the Middle East and North Africa, 35 armed conflicts in Africa, and 21 armed conflicts going on in Asia right now. It's a lot. In America, we're dealing with political unrest, gendered identity unrest, monetary unrest, ethnic unrest, even religious unrest. And I love the United States. I'm not ripping the United States. I'm not ripping the people. But I'm not sure that we've ever been more disunified than we are today. And I look around at all these things, and then I look at just our life, the demands and the hectic pace that life demands of us right now, that you can't even get a breath in before the next three things are coming. And how do I stay on top of it, and how do I keep doing all these things? And all these things are piling up, and there's anxieties and worries and fears and all these things. And Jesus, if you're bringing peace on the earth, where is it? Because I can't find it. And I want to remind you that peace is not the painting of the calm lake. Peace is the bird in the cleft of the rock while everything else is storming around it. And the peace that Jesus gives us is not a peace that is going to make everything okay. The peace that Jesus gives us is first a peace with God. That is the core of the Bible message. That is the gospel message in and of itself. That Jesus brings peace between us and God. The Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament in the Bible, he traveled around the world telling people about Jesus, was Jewish and came to faith in Christ. He writes this in the book of Romans chapter 5. And listen to the words that he says. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in the wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Amen? That without Christ, you and I are at war with God. That when Jeremy said, pray that, you know, he tells us what we need to hear. What you need to hear is this, that without Christ, you are at war with God. You are an enemy of God, whether you think you are or not. The Bible is very clear that we are more intent on seeking the pleasures of ourself than we are surrendering to what God has for us. We are at war with God. Even when we come to faith, we will still wrestle with those things. And we learn to trust him more. But you and I are enemies without Christ. If Jesus does not come as a little baby at Christmas, peace with God is not attained. And we're enemies. And our relationship with God is severed. But Jesus makes our relationship right again. Amen? He makes us friends with God. He moves us from enemy to friendship. That's the beautiful thing about it. When we look at this candle, it's not just like, oh yeah, peace will come. No. Jesus is moving you from being an enemy to God to being a friend with God. It's like Shohei Ohtani moving from the cross rival Angels to now being on the Dodgers, I guess, for the Dodger fans. He's not an enemy anymore. Now he's a friend for some. And a friend just became an enemy. But I mean, you know, it's beyond that. But I want you to understand this. In order for us to have peace with God, Jesus fought for that. He went to the cross for that. He laid down his life for that. He paid the price of our sins for that. In order for us to have peace with God, it came at a cost. If we want to have peace, it's going to have to be fought for. And praise the Lord that we have peace with God because Jesus fought the fight that you and I could never win. The peace that Jesus brings is a peace that we have with God. And it restores that peaceful relationship with God. But I want to look at another passage in Philippians chapter 4. And we've read this many times. Again, this is the Apostle Paul writing. And he says this. Don't worry about anything. Oh, there you go. That should solve all your problems. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So not only does Jesus give us a peace with God where a friendship is restored, he gives us the second point that I'm pointing out is he gives us an inner peace. He doesn't give us peaceful situations in life. Those things will happen and can happen. He can certainly bring those. But even if your world turns on you, if it becomes shaken and stirred, if it turns into total chaos, if the solid ground you thought you had begins to crumble, Jesus still gives us an inner peace with God. That even though my world isn't going according to plan, I have the perfect plan, why isn't it doing it that way? God still brings peace. And I love that. When we would give it over to God, we would have perfect peace with God, a peace that passes understanding. So what does God's peace look like? Why would I want that? I can tell you there are situations that I would rather have peace in than have chaos. God bless you. And a peace that I can't fully explain to you, but it's there. Let me ask you two questions. You don't have to answer out loud. I just want you to think about them. When was the last time you felt stressed? Right now, I don't enjoy public speaking. I get stressed thinking about public speaking, so I'm stressing now. I was stressing 10 minutes ago before I got up here. I stress about those things. My week has so many activities planned. I'm going to have a panic attack if I even begin to tell you about them. So now was the last time I felt stressed. Maybe you're like, right, I'm stressed thinking, is this pastor going to stop talking so I can get lunch? Let's get on with it. When was the last time you felt stressed? And we could probably all answer that pretty quick. When was the last time, second question, that you felt inner peace? And the sad thing is some of us have to think about that. When was the last time I really felt peace? I can tell you about my stress. That's easy. But peace, when was the last time? I love how Paul writes this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God about everything that you need. And then his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. His peace will do what? Guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. One of my favorite sports, I think the best is the best sport in the world is hockey. It just is. See, I got my team over here. Hockey is the best sport ever. And when I started watching hockey, I got to watch some of the greatest people to ever play the game. The Wayne Gretzky's, Mario Lemieux's, Mark Messier's, the Steve Yzerman's, the Sakic's, all these guys play. And you can look on who's, I didn't get to see some of the other great players that played before him, but you can look at the great players, and when I started watching hockey, I got to see some of the best players to play the game. Not only that, when you look at the top goaltenders of all time in hockey, I got to watch the top three goaltenders play. Martin Brodeur, Dominik Hasek, and Patrick Waugh. Three incredible goalies if you ever saw them play. And these guys, and we'll play a little video so you can see, the goalies in hockey, these are grown men that can do splits. That's like, you shouldn't be able to do that, but they can do that, and they can control where their stick goes, and they're diving all over the place, and they're tumbling and upside down and just doing everything they can to block any shot from getting in the goal, and they're stretching, and they're poking their stick. There could be four or five or six guys trapped in front of them, and they can see through all of them to see where the puck is to make sure that they are watching it, that it does not get in the net. They guard that net with everything they have. They take these brutal hits, and the slap shots are over 100 miles per hour of a frozen puck coming at you. But they will put their body in the way to stop it and guard that net. Only the most incredible shots usually for these three goalies ever possibly made it into the goal. It's incredible. But here they are guarding the net. And better than them, God is here to guard your heart and mind for peace. Amen. The acrobatics that they do are nothing compared to the things that God would do to protect your heart and your mind so that you and I could experience the peace of God that passes understanding. That's amazing. That's the peace that Jesus is bringing into the world at Christmas. I come to bring you peace. And I love that truth that God will guard our hearts and minds. Look at the things that Jesus said to his disciples when he was getting the Last Supper before he was going to the cross. He says to them, but he also says to us. John chapter 14, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Guys, I'm about to go, but I'm going to leave you with a gift. Is it $700 million, Jesus? No. It's peace of mind and heart, which might not appeal to you now, but in times to come, you will covet that more than you would any dollar amount. I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or worried or afraid. John chapter 16. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Chaos. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome those things. Jesus comes to bring peace, and he comes to bring full peace into our lives. And I'm thankful for a God who is generous and gracious. God is the God of peace, but he doesn't sit back and go, look how troubled you are. I'll bet you wish you had peace in your life right now. I've got it all here. He shares it. He gives it. And he doesn't just give some. He doesn't give part. He gives peace that we would be full of peace. Amen? Peaceful and full of peace. In the midst of the storm, peace. Even when Jesus was going to the cross, before he got to the cross, he was arrested. And they beat him. And they spit on him. And they yelled at him. And they called him names. And he stood there and took it and said not a word. In the midst of hostility, Jesus stood there with peace. Peace that he leaves with us. Remember the old hymn that we have. Put the lyrics on the screen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Why might we have unrest? Why might we not experience peace? Because we're not bringing our burdens and our troubles to the God of peace. Which brings us to point three. Troubles will abound, but let God's peace surround. And I want to talk a little bit about how we can let God's peace surround us. My goal as a pastor is never to try and create perfect circumstances in your life where there is no trouble. Because that's impossible. I can't control the world, number one, but that's just, Jesus says, in the world you're going to have many trials and struggles and all these things. My goal as a pastor is to get you so grounded in Jesus Christ, to lead you to him, to get you to just be so in love with him, that when the world falls apart, you don't panic because you have the peace of Christ ruling and guarding your hearts and minds. That's what my role as a pastor is. I cannot make your world perfect, but I can lead you to the one who can perfectly guide you through your troubles. And that's what I want to do. So how do we do that? How do we get there? Philippians chapter 4, we talked about don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things and that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting them into practice, all you learned from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. So how do we experience this inner peace? How do we get there? And I just want to go through some simple steps that Paul puts out in this passage. First one is simply this. Pray. Pray to God about the things that are burdening you. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. And it's like, Pastor, that doesn't work. It works. It really works, I promise. But here's the problem in how sometimes we pray about things. Lord, take these things away from me. I don't want any of this. It hurts. It might hurt, but that might not be the prayer that we need. The prayer that we might need in that situation is more, Lord, I know that you promised to never leave me or forsake me. Help me to see you as I go through these trials. Help me to experience your peace in the midst of this chaos. Not deliver me from this chaos. Guard my heart and mind in peace during the chaos. Maybe we have the wrong prayer. That might be the first problem. The second problem is often we will tell God about what our problems are. God, this has been weighing on me, and this is just killing me over here. And God, I don't know what to do about this. I need you to take care of those things. Okay, God, thanks for listening to me. I'll be back later. And then we take all the things that we laid out and we take them and we continue to try and carry the burden with them. That's called praying with sticky hands. God, I want you to take care of these things, but I'm not going to leave them with you to take care of them. And then it's like, God, why didn't you fix these? And God's like, well, you didn't leave them there for me. You took them back. Church, quit praying with sticky hands. If you want to experience the peace of God, pray about everything. But pray about everything, casting your burdens and anxieties on him and leaving them at his feet and saying, God, tell me where I need to act and what I need to do, but I'm not going to pick these back up and carry them anymore. You should try it sometimes. It's pretty amazing. We need to pray. And I want to tell you this. Maybe you don't pray much. Maybe you don't pray at all. Start praying. And your prayers might sound really selfish at first. Like, all I ever do is like ask God to help. That's all I'm ever praying. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, because the more that you do that, your prayers are going to change. And it's going to become to this point like, Lord, thank you for doing what you did. I had no idea how you were going to solve that last thing that was burdening me. I didn't even see the solution you came up with, but God, you're amazing. Thank you for taking care of that. Lord, I'm coming now praying about this thing as well. And your prayers will move from just praying about what I desperately need right now to, God, thank you for taking care of me. You're an amazing God. I'm still presenting the things that I'm struggling with. And your prayers change. But the first step, how do we experience that inner peace? You got to start with prayer. Well, that's step number two. Your first step to experiencing inner peace is surrendering to the lordship of Jesus Christ so that you have peace with God. And then as you have peace with God, bring everything to God in prayer so that you can experience his full peace that guards your hearts and minds. So the second step, which is now really the third step because I don't know my math very well, is focus on God things. Paul writes, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, and lovely, and admirable, things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Don't focus on your problems. Focus on the God who's bigger than your problems. If you want, go to CVS or Walgreens and spend 99 cents on a little pocket notebook and label some pages excellent, trustworthy, noble, honorable, and list down things that are those to you. And then when troubles abound and your world falls apart, bring that notebook out and fix your eyes on the things that are trustworthy and noble and honorable. Go to God in prayer and be reminded of who God is and the things that he does for you. If you want to experience inner peace, it's by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Over and over again in the New Testament, fix your eyes on the heavenly things. Fix your eyes on God things. You're always going to have problems. Don't fix your eyes on the problems. Fix your eyes on the one that is bigger than your problems. And the fourth thing is this. Keep practicing. Practice, practice, practice. Paul says, whatever you've heard or seen in me, practice these things. If you want to experience inner peace, you've got to fight for it. You've got to push for it. You've got to stop worrying and having anxiety and fear, and you've got to pray for it. You've got to stop looking at the problems and practice looking at God and who he is and how he can accomplish something bigger than you can. And you've got to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Practice these things. And as we do these things and we walk through these steps, maybe we can have the confidence and the calmness and the peace that Mary has in the Christmas story. Mary, God is about to change your world. You know what? He's the Lord. Let him have his way. Band, you can come on up. And as we close this up and get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, I just want to share this one verse with you that Jesus shares as he's talking about being the good shepherd in John chapter 10. He says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And I read you this verse to leave you with the peace of God. That when everything is falling apart, when people are hurling insults, when people are accusing you, when nothing is going your way and nothing is working, Jesus says this, "I give them eternal life, they will never perish, and no one can snatch them away from me." That is the core of our peace. That faith in Christ gives us a hope and a future that nobody can take away. I'm going to say a prayer here in a minute as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. And so after I pray, the tables will be open. You can come up and partake in that. It's a way for us to remember as we take the bread and juice that Jesus fought for our peace with God. He moved us from enemies to friends with God. After communion, elders, maybe if you're around, if you can just be in the back for people to pray with. Maybe you've got something you need prayer for. As we talk about praying to God, we want to pray with you. Maybe there's a decision you need to make about Christ. Maybe you just kept him off to the side. But you need to fully surrender to him and put your faith in him. Come up and pray with one of the elders, and then we'll sing after that. But let me say a prayer. Lord God, thank you for being our peace. Thank you for doing all the work to move us from enemies to friends. Thank you for guarding our hearts and our minds. Thank you for being the God of all peace and sharing that peace with us. And God, thank you that as we put our faith in you, as we become friends with you, as we're adopted into that family with you, nothing can snatch us out of that place. Lord, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.